Chapter 9. Burning Bashenga was a border tribe city that connected the villages that sat on the Wakandan border between the mountains and Lake Nyanza far to the east. It was, by that measure, possibly one of the strangest cities in the world. Fully underground, fully defensive, highly segmented, an underground firewall of residential and commercial districts, manufacturing plants, and garrisons. Most of Burning Bashenga was centralized in the western sector, on the southwestern Wakandan border by the mountains, which also contained the academy that trained the border tribe's military, retail and residential districts, the Justicar HQ, and the Hexarch, the seat of tribal government for the border tribe. T'Challa had never felt comfortable in Burning Bashenga, even though he'd spent part of his childhood here, training in the academy. The walls of the city were fully tiled with chameleon technology, allowing them to project anything from beautiful views of far-off lands to films. At present, the vast walls and ceiling were running an installation from a Wakandan artist who was a favorite of his mother, an eye-watering, animated pattern that looked as though the city was inverted around some colorful, scaled serpent, slow-breathing. It was giving T'Challa a mild headache. Okoye shot at barely a glance as they walked up onto the basalt slab that anchored the ground floor of the Hexarch. Shield Armosa was already waiting for them, a silent, imposing figure around the usual administrative chaos within the Hexarch. Age had turned her hair silver, and her prosthetic left arm looked a fraction more slender, but as T'Challa greeted her, she smiled a faint, secretive smile that he remembered from the academy, where she had been his favorite tutor. "My king," Moses said formally, crossing her arms over her chest. "Shield Armosa, you're all dressed up," T'Challa said, unable to hide a grin as Moses made a face. She was in ceremonial armor, which, since it was border made, was functional, draped over her shield cloak, affixed with her silver and gold coils of office over her arms and breastplate. "Needs must." Moses inclined her head at the others. "First Shield Wakabi, General Okoye." Once pleasantries were done with, she gestured for them to follow, heading past the lobby of the Hexarch. Like the other buildings in Burning Bashenga, it was built defensively, with narrow windows and straight corridors, solid furniture. Patterned tapestries and chameleon plating that had been tuned to a view of Lake Nyanza softened its edges, but with everyone visibly armed, it was a meager illusion. "You should come back to the academy for a refresher," Moses said, once they were crowded into the jaunt lifts, heading further underground. "I saw a recording of your fight with Prince N'Jadika." "Not good?" T'Challa asked, swallowing a wry laugh. Beside him, Wakabi was staring at the ceiling, while Okoye had gone suspiciously stone-faced. "Permission to speak frankly?" "Always, Moses." "It was a disgrace," Moses said, though she smirked faintly. "Your footwork has degenerated. In fact, it's even a wonder that we're not currently living under Jabari rule. I felt embarrassed having to watch that particular bout with my own two eyes in the Warrior Falls. If you can't afford the time to come here, perhaps General Okoye can teach you the refresher in our place. I'll forward her a lesson plan." "Maybe after all of this is settled down, eh?" T'Challa carefully didn't look at Okoye. "I suppose I'm lucky that I was only attacked by the garrison stationed at Menaknai." Moses sniffed. "If you decided to have your little war on top of Burning Bashenga, it would have been over quickly, and not in your favor. Although," she conceded, "I hear the Jabari fought well, overall, though it still fell to General Okoye to defuse the situation. That's what generals are for." T'Challa listened to Mosa complain about his footwork all the way down, until the lift escorted them on the Isilangho floor. Like the lobby, the floor looked as though it was made of a single slab of dark stone, the chameleon-patterned walls hung with bars of light between mounted shield cloaks and weapons from famous border tribesmen over the centuries. Shield Chief Causey met them in a stateroom alone. T'Challa tried not to feel impatient, as much of this was a formality. Causey had already read Shuri's brief. The meeting was just a matter of political etiquette. T'Challa exchanged polite pleasantries with Causey, following rote, although he was nearly thrown off balance when Causey said, "About Shield Guard Mandla." "A very thoughtful young man, judging from his essay," T'Challa said carefully. Causey glanced at Wakabi, then back at T'Challa. "Unfortunately, Mandla's sentiment is not without its support, especially here in Bernin Bashenga." T'Challa nodded. "No doubt. It does make a great deal of sense. The King of Wakanda is meant to serve Wakanda. If a better system evolves, then let it evolve."
"Does the king serve Wakanda or himself?"
Wakabi said, his tone flat. "You've gone against the tribal council's wishes, opening Wakanda to the world."
"And Killmonger did not!"
Okoye snapped.
"The council offered no objection to King and Jataka's plans. We were both there. We saw."
"Because they were afraid!"
Across the table, Hosi sighed.
"Peace,"
T'Challa said, raising his voice. "What's done is done." "As I told you in the council, the border tribe does not apologize for the choices it made during the recent matter of succession," Khaosi said evenly. "In our opinion, King N'Jataka was, the true king, by our laws. Now that he is dead, you are king, yes. I support that. I support bringing the Jabari into the tribal council, and I respect your choice to reveal Wakanda to the world, even if I continue to disagree with it. But do not think that you are popular in Bernin Bashenga right now, Your Majesty."
"I didn't think I would be.
Shield Chief Khoza, I am sorry that matters came to pass in such a way. I am sorry for the losses your people suffered by my hand. But I am still king, for all that entails. I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to do what I think is right for Wakanda." Khoza eyeballed T'Challa with a steely stare for a while. Then he grunted.
"Good. Now, about this matter of Tetu, you're convinced the Jabari can deal with him on their own?"
"I think the Jabari will be very inclined to view the arrival of a Shield Guard garrison as an invasion," T'Challa said, keeping his tone mild.
"Our Shield Guards have been searching the city since we received your warning,"
Khoza said, "and we found nothing yet." "Shuri believes that she has narrowed down the resonance. With your leave, we'll release her newest set of specialized drones within Bernin Bashenga and conduct a more thorough search."
"Do what you must."
Khoza inclined his head.
"May this insanity end quickly."
"And if it's possible, I would like to someday meet Shield Guard Mandla, in an informal setting," T'Challa said, as casually as he could.
"Apologies will only serve to demean the loss he has suffered,"
Khoza pointed out. "I'm aware of that. May I ask why you wish to see him?" "This whole trial with N'Jataka has made me realize that my real enemy is privilege," T'Challa said, earnest. "My privilege. I've been oblivious to that in the past. It scarred Wakanda in return. I'd like to remedy that. Shield Guard Mandla might be able to help." Khoza glanced at Wakabi, who shrugged.
"Wakabi will make the arrangements," Khoza said, if with clear reluctance.
Outside, on the lift up, Moses said, "Not bad. At least you still have a spine. I was getting worried." Okoye growled, but said nothing. T'Challa chuckled. "I'm glad to see you still care enough about me to be worried, Mentor." "I care about all my students. The brilliant ones," Mosa nodded at Okoye. "The stubborn ones," a nod at Wakabi. "And the forgetful ones." The last she leveled with a sharp smile at T'Challa. "The border tribe respects strength, T'Challa. Your father understood that completely." T'Challa sighed. "This city was named after the first of my bloodline, the first king of Wakanda."
"I understand.
I'm not here to repeat my father's lessons, or his mistakes." Shuri's drones took them under the city proper, to the central station for the magnetic trains that ran every couple of minutes along the border city, as well as to the other Wakandan cities and towns. The bright terminus was busy with people, and T'Challa tried not to think about how explosives might be close by. The carnage. Judging from the grim look on his companions' faces, he wasn't the only one. It was slow going, since they were all easily recognizable, but the Dora Milaje's forbidding stares and Wakabi's sharp, "Official business, move along," managed to hustle them past the crowds. Okoye breathed more easily once they were through to the service network that ran along the tunnels. As the drone flew before them, its silver eye scanning the corridor, Wakabi said,
"I think I know where it's taking us."
"So do I," T'Challa said. Years ago, not far from here, with N'Jobu's help, Claw had accessed the tunnels within Wakanda through a service entrance just outside Bernin Bashenga, tunnels that led eventually along the train tunnels to the storage chambers close to Meneg Nai. They had taken what they wanted and returned the same way, tripping the alarm by accident when they were nearly on their way out. The skirmish had taken the lives of Wakabi's parents, the shield guards closest by. There had been nothing left of them to bury. In Bernin Bashenga, T'Challa had watched a laughing, cheerful boy become a solemn and serious one overnight. And the pain had only festered. He should have seen that. "Wakabi," Okoye said, concerned. He stared at her for a moment, then back at the drone, lost in thought, his hand clenched on the hilt of his scimitar. It was a long walk. At the intersection between the tunnel further to the next station along the Bashenga line and the tunnel leading towards Meneg Nai, the drone paused, turning this way and that. "Shuri," T'Challa tapped his communications bead. "Hang on," Shuri said, her hologram frowning intently at a screen. "These readings, that's strange." "If we have to walk to Meneg Nai, that's a very, very long walk," Mosa said, staring down the tunnel. "I'd prefer to head back to the terminus and charter a train, or take a warbird." "Huh." Shuri peered closer at something. "That's weird. Apparently Okoye is standing in chameleon coding." Okoye startled backwards quickly. It took a few false attempts before they found a hidden switch under the coding. A panel slid away, revealing a dark mouth in the floor, leading downwards. "Well, that's just depressing," Mosa said, with a glance at Wakabi, who set his jaw, scowling. "A security breach, yes," T'Challa said. "Not just that. The border tribe always wondered how Claw managed to get from Bernin Bashenga to Meneg Nai and back unnoticed. We have sensors in the service tunnels. Claw and his people were like a ghost, at least until they tried to get from Bernin Bashenga across the border." Mosa rubbed her jaw tiredly. "So Prince N'Jobu wasn't the only person working with Claw?" "Wasn't the only traitor, no." T'Challa would not gloss over his family's mistakes. "Why not just dig a tunnel all the way out? Then they would have never been caught," Okoye said. "I think they were meant to be caught," T'Challa said, thinking it over. "We branded Claw that night, though he managed to evade custody in the chaos. That part had been suspicious as well, in hindsight. We are meant to think that outsiders got away with the entire alloy cache, to focus our efforts on him all this while."
"Then I am glad that we are here," Wakabi said evenly. "If Claw was only a tool, my revenge is incomplete."
"The safety of our cities is at stake," Okoye said sharply. "If bombs go off..."
"We kill these people, no more bombs, right?"
Wakabi interrupted.
"Good."
He started to climb down into the drop, bars of light on his belt starting to glow as he went. "This is going to get crowded," Mosa said, with a look at the Dora Milaje, "and I have a bad feeling about the terminus." "Go back and issue a temporary evacuation order. Call it a drill if you have to. We'll keep in touch," T'Challa said. He, Okoye, Wakabi, and the Dora Milaje should be enough for whatever was in there anyway. Mosa nodded, crossing her palms over her chest. "It's good to see you," she said, then looked at Okoye. "Good to see you both." She turned, heading back down the tunnel. Once below, T'Challa activated the suit, which quickly adjusted for the low light. "I'll scout ahead," he told the others, which didn't sit well with Okoye, judging from her frown, but T'Challa headed down the corridor before she could object. It was old, and had been crudely dug with mining tools without being properly shored up. Still, it did look like it had been used recently. In the dust, there were footprints. Shuri's pod hovered over his shoulder, keeping pace. Her voice routed into his ear through the suit.
"Okay, brother, we're getting closer to the resonance. I don't detect any life signs."
"Keep searching."
"The tunnel looks like it just runs straight through."
The pod sped on ahead. There was a pause as the pod hovered closer to the ground.
"Picking up old DNA traces. Cross-referencing. Eh, it's Claw, all right. He came this way once."
"Patch that to Wakabi and keep moving."
"Shuri do this, Shuri do that. How did all of you manage without me?"
"Very badly," T'Challa said,
just to hear her laugh. The drone eventually came to a stop outside a heavy door.
"Okay, I think this is it. The resonance is coming from behind it. But I don't actually read any life signs,"
Shuri said.
"Explosives?"
"Not that I can tell from here either. You'll have to get the door open."
"Ask the others to come on through," T'Challa decided, inspecting the door. It was made of vibranium. No way of opening that with his claws, or Okoye's spear. He pushed it, making the hinge creak loudly.
"There's no way of opening this remotely?"
"Not that I can tell, no. No, wait. There's a hidden sensor."
The drone floated down to the center of the door, just as Okoye and the others caught up.
"We're trying to..." T'Challa began, just as Okoye jabbed her spear into the seam of the door, near the top.
At her command, the other Dormilaje also shoved their spears into the seam between the door and the wall. There was a blue pulse, then a shearing sound as metal shook free from the rock around it. The doors fell with loud, booming thuds.
"Open the door."
"And now it is open," Okoye said, even as Wakabi laughed, then seemed to catch himself.
T'Challa shook his head. The room was some sort of old storage space. Shelf brackets lined the walls. They had once held boxes, recently moved. Clean squares and otherwise dusty shelves were all that were left. Some of the squares closest to the door were cleaner than most.
"I must have stored some of the caches here," Wakabi said, inspecting the brackets, "which would explain the vibranium door and its security."
"Right under our noses," Okoye said.
"But if they moved the crates away, then what is giving off the resonance?" T'Challa asked. The room looked empty. "Perhaps there's another hidden floor here?"
"Shuri."
"Coming through, coming through, I'm here."
Shuri's pod floated in and turned to do a slow circuit of the room. "Mos is evacuating the terminus, by the way. They're calling it a fire alarm. Pretty orderly evacuation so far, no panic. Not that anyone believes it's a fire alarm. You guys were pretty obvious walking in here."
"Couldn't be helped," T'Challa said, with a glance at Okoye and the other Dormilaje.
"Well, it's a good thing. I'm checking in on the general chatter. People think between you, Okoye, and Wakabi, you'll probably be able to handle whatever it is. Confidence in the monarchy, eh?"
Shuri giggled again.
"Pay attention, Shuri," Okoye said, though she smiled.
"Yes, yes. Okay, there's something here."
The pod floated down, nearly to floor level.
"Under one of the shelves? Scanning...
Wait. Wait.
What's that feedback? It's... How is it hacking us? Zintel, shut down... It's what? How'd it get past my security? The doors! They're all opening!"
Shuri's voice cut off, the pod going dark, falling onto the ground with a clang. T'Challa tapped his communication bead.
"Shuri? Shuri!"
Okoye was tapping at hers, to no avail. No answer from the Dormilaje station at Menek Nai.
"Some sort of EMP?"
Wakabi frowned.
"That shouldn't be possible."
He grabbed T'Challa as T'Challa growled and started for the door.
"What are you going to do, run there? Without backup?"
"My sister!"
T'Challa shook Wakabi's grip off roughly.
"Calm down. Follow me up. We'll charter one of the trains. Take a garrison. There's a border garrison there and some Dormilaje. They'll hold out against whatever it is.
So he hoped.
T'Challa forced a harsh breath. For Shuri's sake, he had to be calm.
Lead on.